Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Because everybody's going to disappoint everybody. That's just the inevitable because we're imperfect people. But what's the pattern of this individual, right? And if oftentimes they're showing you care and love and attention, oftentimes they're open to connect with you, chances are they'll also be open to hearing a disappointment. It doesn't mean they're going to respond the way you want them to, but that's when in the conflict, you choose to not just avoid and run away. You choose to sit in it with them and approach it in a way that will allow you both to have a healthy conversation. So that's the way that I would suggest folks to do it, is to build that self-awareness first around yourself and then around the person that you're maybe having this conflict with, and then move forward from there.
You are now tuned in to A Shot of Melanin, a podcast dedicated to amplifying the voices, stories, and accomplishments of Black Canadians. This podcast is about learning and growing. So let's get into it. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I am your host, Michelle, and it has been a great first 3-episode season so far. I have gotten so many wonderful and incredible feedback from people, and so I just wanted to say thank you to all those who've reached out through the DMs. I also want to say a special thank you to those who are leaving comments on Spotify on the podcast episodes. Y'all are the real MVP. Like, y'all really come through for your girl. When I said comment, like, y'all really doing just that. So I want to say thank you to you guys as well. As we're going through this season, I think it's going to be like, you know, it's a good season 5. We've had some really good guests on so far. I can't wait to get you guys to see the remaining of the season. Now, just so that you know, so there's no surprises, season 5 ends in June. So we'll drop our last 2 episodes in June. One specifically dedicated to another father for fathers in honor of Father's Day. And then another one just to kind of wrap up the season. So, you know, continue to let me know what you think. And then also if there's anything for future topics that you want me to discuss for season 6. Which I will let you know when season 6 is dropping. Definitely let you guys know that in the summer. Just, you know, shoot me a DM. You can find me on Instagram at A Shot of Melanin. You can find me on Facebook, same thing, A Shot of Melanin. X, formerly known as Twitter, at ASOM_podcast. I'm also on Threads, A Shot of Melanin. Basically, if you type in Google a shot of melanin, you should be able to find me on all social media platforms. So, you know, if you're listening to this episode, continue to leave your gems, what you thought about the episode. It's great feedback for me, as well as I get to share it with my guests and show them how much the episode has impacted them and how, you know, this helps them as well as, you know, guests, content creators, and all that sort of stuff. I think one of my favorite comments was when we did the episode with Hazel, and one of our listeners left a comment on Spotify saying that they never looked at planning their vision board as seeing it in quarters. And to be honest with you, I didn't either. So, you know, it showed that people were listening, people enjoyed it, people got some fruits from it. So continue, comment. Don't forget to share this with your friends, you know, have conversation. You know, if you're thinking about planning a vision board party, you know, here Hazel drops some gems on how you could kind of do so with her help if you decide to enlist with her. And then recently for Valentine's Day, we had Nikki and Dean on the podcast, in which they discuss, you know, their trials and tribulation of marriage. So, you know, overall, I think I have to say that this has been a great season. So thank you so much for supporting the podcast. Just continue to share, rate, you know, it's getting traction, guys. I'm getting tagged in other types of social media things where they're tagging A Shot of Melanin as podcasts that they need to listen to. So honestly, truly, I have the best supporters on here who listen. Just continue, and I thoroughly enjoy you guys, and I am grateful for you guys. So as you've heard before, our previous episode was with Dean and Nikki, in which we discussed relationships. And while I do think that there's importance of gems being dropped, lessons to be learned, and why I decided to have those conversations, one thing that has definitely kind of intrigued me is, while we do have these conversations about relationships and how to maintain one, you know, romantic relationships, of course, there's not necessarily anything in place about friendships. And I do think friendships are a very important part of your life. Before you ever get into any type of romantic relationships, you will find yourself in friendships. A lot of these friendships will shape the person that you are. You know, there's a saying that friends come in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I find it very interesting that a lot of the times we don't necessarily have the conversation around friendship, which is crazy because friendships are the first relationships apart from family that we have. And so I decided I wanted to have this conversation about friendships. I know that you could turn on TV and find information about, you know, how to get the guy, how to get the girl. You could listen to countless podcasts where they tell you about relationship woes, marriage, trials and tribulations. And again, while that's all good, I do find that it's very important, and it is meant to provide information, growth, and give people the tools that they need to deal with romantic relationships. I do think the conversation around friendships need to be had. And so on today's episode, I have therapist Simone Donaldson. She is the CEO of Agape Lens. She's a therapist here in Toronto. And so we decided to have a conversation about friendships and how to maintain it and how to set boundaries, especially in the world that we're living in. As she mentioned later on in the episode, we are living in a loneliness epidemic, you know. So how do we go about fostering those relationships and keeping them near and dear? So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Therapist at Agape Lens. And so today's topic, we are talking about friendships. And so, Simone, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, just professionally?
Professionally, personally, anything. Give us Simone as a whole.
Okay, well, I'm a daughter. I'm an auntie of many nieces and nephews. I'm a friend, you know. I'm a therapist. I am the CEO and founder of Agape Lens Consulting and Therapy. And we have two sides to our practice. So there is the therapy side, and we have three wonderful therapists that work on our team right now. I also provide therapy. And then we also have the consulting side, where I provide leadership coaching. I do Black healing circles. I do many different workshops, and often focusing on the Black community or Black mental health, as well as anti-Black racism, often bridging the two, to be honest. And that's kind of who I am. I love to laugh. Like, that is something you're always going to find in my therapeutic kind of room. I love to sing, and yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, some of those things about me that you should know.
And so why did you decide to become a therapist?
Well, I think, like, it's probably a common story, but I feel like as a child and growing up, it felt like people were kind of consistently coming to me, and I felt like I was able to provide them some great advice and support. And, you know, so I just kind of always felt called to that. Funny enough, as I was moving through my social work career, because I am a registered social worker, there was a point in time when I was like, yeah, I don't know if I could do this, because the truth is, it does take a lot to carry people's pain and burden and hurt. And especially when you maybe yourself haven't healed from your own past, because we all have a past. It just became very challenging at one point in time, and I wasn't too sure that I was going to move into this. However, I think, you know, I said to myself, okay, well, I understand my capacity, because I still feel so drawn to this. And it's just about knowing my capacity, knowing and being comfortable with the areas that I do want to provide support in therapy. And so that's where I said, you know what, yeah, I got to do this. And again, because I focus so much on the Black community, just understanding the level of trauma that we often experience, racial trauma specifically, the amount of rejection we often get, not just from individuals, but from our systems, I said, I got to be a part of this in deep and meaningful ways. And so therapy is a part of the way that I felt led to really continue this work.
Nice. And so take us along the process. You're like, I'm going to start off Agape Lens. But before we get to Agape Lens, how did you name it? Like, what idea popped? How did we get to the process of naming it Agape Lens?
Yes. So it's a really interesting story. So I think I'll try to give a shorter version as possible. But essentially, I think there was just this point in time in my career where I was feeling this burden that, you know, and there was a real rise in like social justice concerns. And I felt this like burden of people, and in therapy as well, actually. So both in therapy as well as what was happening around the world, I just felt this like serious burden of people not connecting around the challenges that they're having, and relationships just being broken time and time again because people didn't understand how to listen to one another, take the time to hold each other's pain and experiences before they respond. And, you know, for me, I've also been a social worker and therapist who's believed in attachment therapy or theory for a very long time. I have a deep understanding that our strongest healing tool available to us on this earth is our connections, because we are wired for connection. And so in understanding that, and again, being a Christian, you know, this idea of love came about, right? Like, what is love? And I really do believe it is a solution to a lot of the challenges that we have, because often it is, unfortunately, our relationships that's creating the deepest pain, but it's also the thing that could grant us the greatest liberation and freedom and health, right? And so, you know, again, going through this idea of like, what I didn't want to call it Love Lens, because like people might think it's just a sex or relationship kind of a a practice, and then, you know, it might seem too like girly or whatever for certain genders, you know. So I wanted to just pick a name that really kind of you know, provided a real understanding of what love is And agape was it. It means, it's a Greek word that means the highest level of love, God's love. It's kind of it's unconditional. And so, you know, when we really do understand love, we also understand that means that there's going to be conflict, but how do we deal with the conflict? How do we look to reconcile with folks versus just get an apology or just create blame, right? It helps us understand how to communicate with one another, be in each other's presence, how to also love ourselves, right? So that we're creating the appropriate boundaries. Like, this is what true love is. It's not always sexy and cute, but if dealt with appropriately, you will be so much better off for it. It's a strong tool. And that's why I also have the Love Lens framework as a part of the ways in which I approach my work and live day to day.
I love that story. I know it's so hard for businesses. Like, for example, when I came up with the name of this, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to call this. Yeah. So I know how hard it could be. I can know the journey of it. And I really love the journey that it encompasses all types of love, self-love, loving others, unconditional love. I love that.
Thank you.
So we're gonna get into our first topic, and our topic is on friendships. Yes. And I actually, you know, when I was sitting down writing the questions, I was like, you know what, I've got so many. We do talk about relationships a lot, but we never really talk about the context of friendships. And I wanted, I'm like, you know what, I do want to have this conversation because I got some questions. So okay, perfect. So, like, how important is friendship for our overall well-being? And, like, what role does it play in our mental health?
I think friendships are the most underrated relationship in society, but actually the most important. I really strongly believe that. Because these are the people that we choose to be in our lives. And it is, I think it can be the greatest template to all the other relationships we have. I find that, to be honest, we also take maybe family for granted at times. But in society, for sure, I feel like relationships specifically just have not been given the amount of love that it deserves. And people are so much more focused on that romantic partnership. I think it's great because it provides us an opportunity to be ourselves without the expectation oftentimes of what romantic relationships are, right? Like, we feel like we have to present a particular person oftentimes in romantic relationships. And of course, when we get to a certain place, we don't feel that way, but often it's because of a level of friendship as a foundation why we don't, and or a level of knowing ourselves. Like I said earlier, I believe that our strongest healing tool is our healthy connections. And I feel like if we build our village of friends, right, then they are the ones that we should be able to depend on. They are our support system when we cannot go to family. Because the truth is, with family, it's a whole other experience that we have, and there's biases there, not necessarily bad biases, but the truth is, you know, there's a level of love there that sometimes isn't able to break through the challenges that we have. And so it's kind of like, you know, the encouragement that's even given is not necessarily always helpful. I feel like in friendships, we can keep ourselves accountable a little better. We often are able to be ourselves a bit more. It's a place where we can make mistakes, and hopefully if they're the right friends, you know, we're taught how to deal with conflict and, you know, show up for people. You know, these are the people that we choose, and there's a reason we choose them. And that's why I think it also takes intentionality to move through friendships. But it's important for our mental health because, like I said, I think essentially it takes a village. And we all need people to lean on as well as support into in this life. And it keeps us stable and healthy and well if it's the right connection.
Okay, that's true. I do agree with you. It takes a village. Just kind of looking back at my friendships and knowing, I mean, I don't have a large amount of friends, but just looking back at they have helped me grow and become the person that I am. Also, they have no problems keeping me accountable. So they'll call me out. Now, what are some common challenges that people face in maintaining healthy friendships, and how can they navigate through them?
Yeah. So I think, you know, speaking about earlier, I spoke about love and what that looks like. I think that oftentimes what I find in friendships is that folks are not willing to talk, to be vulnerable about what they're experiencing. And so, you know, there might be a tally in the background that's being kept around the amount of times they've been offended by a friend, or, you know, just been hurt by them in some kind of way. And instead of communicating that, they hold that, you know, so close to their chest and eventually blow up, right? So people aren't communicating and taking risks in connecting with their friendships around the things that maybe are creating, you know, some kind of conflict or challenge for them. I would say that's the most common one. And, you know, again, because we also sometimes take friendships for granted, we don't address things. And the truth is, in addressing conflicts, we actually deepen our relationships, whether it's friendship or not, because then we have a better understanding of one another. And the hope is that folks are able to do the appropriate thing to grow this relationship, right? So the number one thing I would say that I commonly see is people just not communicating their needs, communicating when they've been hurt. And as a result of, and also, again, taking friendships for granted, which means they're not nurturing those friendships. And as a result of that, you know, people often end up actually feeling lonely oftentimes, or they don't, you know, feel valued in their relationships.
So let's say, for example, you said communication. Let's say the individual has a hard time communicating, like saying how they feel. Friend one hurts friend two doesn't say anything. How can friend two step out of that to communicate effectively and say, hey, friend one, you really hurt me? Like, how do you get yourself out of that if you're so close, if you're so used to keeping things inside?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many reasons why people do keep things inside. That's the truth. And I think one of the best things for us to do is actually to maybe start building awareness in ourselves first. Like, what is, why am I so upset about this, for instance? Because sometimes even the things that we get upset about, sometimes it seems small to somebody, but it's big to another, right? So I think even just building awareness about why this thing has upset me so much, right? What has been violated? What, you know, what's getting me angry? What's getting me sad about this, right? Understanding maybe the emotion behind it and the reason why I'm feeling this way. I think building our own self-awareness is key, first and foremost, because then we could also maybe move into this place of vulnerability with ourselves and be transparent with ourselves. And once we do that, then I would say, okay, well, what am I willing to communicate with this person? Like, first of all, does this person feel like someone that I can communicate with? And if not, what's the reasons for that? Is it a me thing? Is it a them thing? Right? Because the truth is, sometimes we are in friendships that don't actually allow for us to be vulnerable, allow for us to be honest, right? And I would say that if that's how we're feeling, not because of our assumption, but because of what we know, right? I think that's a whole different thing. And I would suggest actually that when folks are sitting with themselves and building that vulnerability with themselves, creating that space of self-awareness, that you also start writing down, what is the patterns of this person? Right? What are the things about this person that has drawn me to them, why I'm in this friendship with them? And what are the things that maybe makes them an unsafe place for me? Right? Because when we're able to address people's patterns, because everybody's going to disappoint everybody. That's just the inevitable, because we're imperfect people. But what's the pattern of this individual? Right? And if oftentimes they're showing you care and love and attention, oftentimes they're open to connect with you, chances are they'll also be open to hearing a disappointment. It doesn't mean they're going to respond the way you want them to, but that's when in the conflict, you choose to not just avoid and run away. You choose to sit in it with them and approach it in a way that will allow you both to have a healthy conversation. So that's the way that I would suggest folks to do it, is to build that self-awareness first around yourself and then around the person that you're maybe having this conflict with, and then move forward from there.
I like that. Yeah. So I know for me, I usually, it depends on the friend. Yeah. Some friends I am a little too blunt with.
Yeah. Okay.
And other friends I'm like, if you like it, I love it.
Fair. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily because I don't feel safe. Yeah. It would be, for example, I know I have friends who think like this too, but it's more so they don't want to hurt the other person's feeling, or they know that because they're so blunt, it could really devastate them. It could really gut them. So they would rather not gut them because they value the friendship. Yeah. And so they would rather, you know what? I love you. So I'm just not going to be as blunt as I normally am with you. Yes. Yeah. But I do agree with you. You do have to be able to communicate. Also, make sure that the person that you're with is someone who you consider a safe space to have these conversations, to be vulnerable with. Because I do think friendships are very important and they're golden. I don't, like you said, I don't think a lot of people realize such a gem friendships are. Yeah. Now, as we get...
If I could just say, could I just add yeah. there, right? Like, I do, I agree that, like, with every friendship, you're going to deal with them differently. Whether it's your close-knit friendships or acquaintance or whomever, you are going to approach them differently based on what you do understand about them. And I think that's a wise thing to do. You know, mm-hmm. like you said, not everybody is able to take the very direct comments or questions. And some of them are. Right. And I think working with where people are at is that love once again, right? We're trying to meet people in a place where they can begin to understand things differently. And I think as long as we are being transparent and honest with our friendships and with ourselves, whichever way it's delivered, you know, it's got to make sense for that person too. So, because it does matter. Delivery absolutely does matter for each person too. And we have to be okay with that and recognize not every friend is going to respond the same way. Not every friend's going to be able to help you the same way. And you're right. It doesn't mean that people are unsafe. It just means we have to rock with them a little differently. And that is okay because we're different people, all of us. Yeah.
100%. I totally agree with that. Totally. Yeah. Now, as we get older, life demands more of us. I'm a mom. Yeah. I'm a podcaster, I'm a content creator, I work a 9-to-5, you know, the many hats. So how do we foster and maintain our friendships?
Yeah, I think with friendships, the thing is it takes intentionality. It really does. And I agree with you. I'm in my age as well. And I think when people get older and older, your circle gets smaller and smaller. And it's because what we require from people is different. You know, it's not just what can we relate on anymore, like in the playground. It's now like, who can hold me when I need to cry, when I need to vent, when I need to cuss? And who can I go out with to have a good time and not necessarily go to a club, but like who fills up my cup, right? But in order to maintain those relationships, we got to be intentional with maintaining them. So that means everyone needs to put an effort to check in, to call, to ask folks to go out, to, you know, we got to nurture these relationships. And I think the first step, once again, is evaluating who are the ones that, you know, I feel it makes sense to put all that energy into versus those who they're still friends, but maybe they're more acquaintances. And that's okay, too. Right. Because the truth is, you don't want to waste all that energy on folks who are not going to either reciprocate in a way that fills you up. It may not look the exact same, but, you know, again, friends, even in your close circle, close-knit circle, sometimes play different roles. And understand, like, who that is for you, right? So it takes intentionality. You got to take risks. You got to put yourself up. If it means that you have to calendar people in, then you do that. Like, I think, like, people used to, like, bat an eye at that idea. But I think the truth is, unfortunately, we live in a world where people are constantly busy and we have to be busy with this economy.
Girl, inflation is inflationing.
Right? So I think, like, you can't wrong people for being busy, but also you can't wrong people for them not reaching out to you if you're also not reaching out to them. Like, you know, we need to nurture these relationships, but it takes intention, you know? And the thing is, we do it with romantic relationships. We will make the time for a romantic relationship, right? And so if we are not taking our friendships for granted and we are invested in this village, this tribe, then it means putting the effort out there to maintain that, right? Make sure you're checking on people. How are they doing? You know, how might I support you? And not just a check-in through text message, please. Like, direct, call the people, them, text message. People are so disconnected. No, it's important because we're actually living in a loneliness epidemic where people feel so disconnected. People feel as though nobody loves them, values them, cares for them. And part of it is because our interaction has decreased significantly since the rise of social media and, you know, just indirect connection. That's part of the reason. Obviously, loneliness is caused from a variety of things, but part of it absolutely is the lack of actual direct connection we might have with folks. And so there's got to be intention there because people are actually really suffering.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that. I've been hearing about it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm on TikTok. And so there's a lot of those discussions that are on there. But I didn't know. In my mind, when I'm thinking of checking in, it's a text like, hey, how you doing? Like, I'll sit down for whatever the time may be and have the conversation via text. I never thought that maybe they would want to hear a voice.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truth is some people don't want to operate that way anymore because they've gotten so used to the text message. It's all about convenience. But I would say, like, I think it would really serve us to make the effort to have that direct voice contact, direct, like, physical contact with folks that we really value once in a while. Even it may not be every day, every time, but even with the check-in sometimes over the phone, it's so like, how you doing? Good. You good too? Yeah, good. And so we don't even deepen those check-ins to be like, okay, so how is this going? I remember the last time we spoke about this, how was that? So even if you're doing the check-ins through text message, at least deepen it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Because it will again help people to check in with themselves, much less check in with you. Because often we are also not checking in with ourselves enough because of how busy we are.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, right? So we're always like, good, 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 fine, fine, fine. And nobody's fine and good all the time, honey. It's just happening. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
What are boundaries? And how do we set healthy boundaries with our friends?
Yeah. So boundaries are, you know, an effort that we put towards ensuring that we are well, right? We put up these boundaries to ensure that we are good mind, body, and soul. And I think oftentimes there's a misunderstanding around boundaries, this idea that it's to push people away when really it's not. And when we create the foundation of boundaries being pushing people away versus keeping ourselves well, then our motives behind creating the boundary is incorrect and actually unhealthy in and of itself. Now, you might want to distance yourself from people after creating a boundary that is saying, I need to take care of myself in this way. However, again, the foundation of creating that boundary when it is grounded in, well, this is what's going to keep me well versus this is what is going to keep you away, it creates a different dynamic for ourselves, right? So it's really important that we understand that first and foremost. It's about keeping ourselves well, not pushing people away. Pushing people away is just creating a barrier, not a boundary, right? And the truth is people often move between like rigid boundaries or porous boundaries is what they call it. So porous boundaries is when we are actually don't really have much boundaries, but we're always in somebody's face. We allow people to do anything, walk all over us. This is where you might find like the people pleasers, right? Where they are consistently neglecting their own needs in order to support others. And then you have those who have like the rigid boundaries, who are, again, the wall is completely up. They don't allow people in. They don't like allow people to take care of them. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, it might be the trope of the strong Black woman, right? Where we don't allow folks to connect with us in very vulnerable and sensitive ways. And so we want to bring people to a healthy place of boundaries, which is, you know, creating some of the distancing from those things and people that are not healthy, but also allowing people in who can really pour into us and support us to grow in the best way possible. So that's what boundaries are. Mm-hmm. And I think in every relationship, it's going to be different based on our need and our connection with them.
So for our listeners, if you could just give us an example of what a boundary would be, for example, it doesn't have to be pertaining to your situation, but just what a boundary sounds like.
Yeah. So I would say like a healthy boundary in like a good, healthy friendship, for instance, might be I have a friend who is constantly in and out of, you know, relationships. And, you know, they just really have a hard time in sticking with loving on themselves and putting guys before them, let's just say, right? And so they're losing their self in these relationships. They're not acting their truest self. And then I, as a friend, for instance, start dating, right? And I want to lean on my girls for advice around dating. A healthy boundary might be, I'm not going to necessarily go to that friend about dating support or encouragement or advice because I feel like she's still healing in that area. And so the boundary would be, let me not connect with her about this, but I could absolutely connect with her about many other things, right? Because she's not a bad friend. She's just maybe not healed in that area of her life just yet. And so I might go to my other friends who I feel have a better kind of hold in that area of their life. That would be, for instance, an example of a healthy boundary within friendships.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert, a couple years ago, I had to deal with a terrible breakup, friendship breakup.
Yeah.
It gutted me. So in your experience as a therapist, what are the most common reasons behind friendship breakups? And how can individuals cope with the end of a significant friendship?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most gut-wrenching things for sure. And I would say that actually, to be honest, from my own personal experience, in my very young age, my first traumatic experience was a breakup with a friendship because I relied so, like, I'm a loyal friend, like, to default. So it's worked for me and not worked for me, right? Because then sometimes I'm not paying attention because I'm just loyal. Bundat. No, I'm joking. Loyalty is good. We just got to be loyal with the right people. So I think the common thing often is miscommunication. I'll be honest with you. I feel like majority of the friendships that when I'm addressing friendships in therapy, it's often a miscommunication. It's often a suppression of offenses that people have not addressed and or forgiven. And as a result of that, things just pile on and pile on and pile on, which means we're then changing the perception of the person that we once called friend and loved and cared for. And then something happens and there's a blow up and nobody wants to be vulnerable enough to actually address the situation and work through it. I think that is the number one reason why I've seen friendships break up. And then, you know, it becomes too late to mend things when, you know, that blow up has happened or that incident has happened. And like I said, nobody wants to take the risk of being vulnerable. So that is the common thing that I've seen. So I think depending on the reason for the breakup, I think there's so many things that we can do. I mean, obviously, once again, if folks are hearing me even now and they feel like they've broken up with a friend and perhaps, you know, you recognize that this person was significant in your life. And I don't know what the issue is. So if it's deep enough that it was, you know, extremely out of pocket, disrespectful, abusive, you know, then perhaps distance is truly the best gift you could give yourself. However, there are times when, you know, there is a possibility of reconciliation. And I wonder if with time passing, if you can actually, you know, spend time connecting with this person, if you feel like it's worth it, right? So I think it goes back to my earlier comments around building self-awareness around your current needs, around what the hurt was, around what's happening. And where are areas that you possibly went wrong, right? And or what are the areas that you know absolutely you would say that the other person did you wrong? And being able to approach it with a level of humbleness and, you know, truth and transparency around, you know, where things went wrong and you perhaps were partly causing that or someone else was. Because often it's not one-sided. It doesn't mean that one person didn't cause more harm. But, you know, I think often if we're honest with ourselves, there's probably something we could have done differently too, you know. And then sometimes people are just a little bit out to lunch. Like they just have like things going on and it impacts the relationship. So you can't help that. But I think, yeah, like think about that. Like, is this something that, you know, you guys can actually become friends again? If not, that's fine. Then how do you, forgive yourself? Maybe forgive that person. That might be something that you want to think about as a way to kind of release the pain and the hurt that was felt there, right? Because forgiveness is also for you, not for the other person, right? You know, so those are some things that I would recommend, like off the bat, like it, but it really just depends, you know, it really depends on the breakup, the reason for it.
Yeah, I remember I didn't get any questions, no answers.
Yeah,
don't know where I went wrong, but it gutted me. So I understand that there's also a healing process in that, especially when you don't have the answers to try to fix it. You know, I think that's my natural response is to, well, let me fix it. If you tell me what it is, let me fix it. And yeah. If they create the boundary of this is the end of my friendship with you.
Yeah.
It's hard because for some people, they just want to fix it and try to. But it's about kind of also understanding that I've learned this, that sometimes friendships come for a reason or a season or a lifetime. Yeah. And so it's about, even though for me, if I want to hold on to people, I can't always hold on to people. You know, sometimes you have to let them go.
Yeah, like literally, because it takes two people to be in a relationship, right? Yeah. Two or more people to be in a relationship. And the truth is, if one is willing and the other isn't, then yeah, like it sucks. And that's kind of like what you get ghosted by friends now. You get ghosted by friends, not just in romantic relationships and in other ways. And it's like the most, like you said, it's gut-wrenching, right? And I think like oftentimes, again, we're seeking closure from these people, even if it doesn't get reconciled, even if we don't become friends again, but we're not afforded that. And the truth is, closure as well is something that actually isn't and doesn't have to be dependent on the other person. Closure is actually an inside job. It's a, what is happening within me, right? What am I hoping for? What do I need to maybe grieve and let go of? You know, I do find, again, even in the dating world, right, when people break up or someone decides to block them or whatever, people have a hard time moving forward. And when we're really honest with ourselves, part of it is because we want to be with that person again. But I often ask folks, okay, well, based on how they treated this situation where they didn't give you the time or day to have a conversation, based on their patterns even leading up to this breakup, if this person, do you feel like this would be a healthy relationship or something that you want in your life, right? Mm-hmm. And often people will say no, but then we have to be honest and transparent around, you know, but I don't want to be alone. I want to be with somebody, and or I love this person. And so sometimes the work is grieving the fact that we still have an attachment to somebody, romantic, friendship, whomever, who unfortunately has just cut that part of our lives, you know, down to like a block or something like that. That is extremely hurtful. But no matter the words they say or don't say, it's not necessarily going to give us the closure. It's really understanding that, like, what do we need? What do we need in this time, and why do we need that? Be transparent about it. Is it going to be helpful to have that conversation with them? Because it may or may not be. I'm not saying it won't be, but there's times when it will not be too. So then what do you do? Right?
Yeah.
Right? So thinking about, like, what is it that I actually need from this relationship or want from this relationship? Is this something that I think would actually be healthy and helpful for me? Is there an area of this that I maybe need to grieve, you know, and accept that it is what it is at some point in time? Radical acceptance, not going to be easy or fun, mm-hmm. but what is it? What's the process that I need to go through to remain well, especially if I don't get to speak to this person, right? So it's an inside job more than it is about relying on what other people say or do. It's knowing for ourselves what we need and want for ourselves long term, not just in the short term or for this one person.
I like that, because I thought closure meant, based off of what everybody was talking about, is when you and the other person have a discussion and you decide that the friendship is ending. But I'm learning that it's more about like you making that decision that there may not be no closure and you have to be okay with that. Yeah. And how are you going to sit in that? That's a nice misconception I used to get. I need closure. I need to speak to the person.
Yeah. And when we wait and wait and wait on that thing, like we're creating such, we're creating more hurt and more pain, you know, for ourselves. And of course, I think closure can happen with conversations with people. But I will say, let's say you had a really great conversation with a friend, and you guys still decided that you're not going to be friends anymore, right? You're still going to have to deal with that pain too, right? It's not going to make it might make it easier because you had clarity, right? But ultimately, you're still going to have to sit with that pain. You're still going to sit with questions. You're still going to sit with, what did I do right? What did I do? Like, it's still going to happen, because when we are attached to people, because we're wired for connection, mm-hmm. And when we lose that connection, whether it was good or bad, to be honest, we have a hard time adjusting to that person not being there anymore, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, so good. I'm just like, this is such a good discussion, because like you said, we don't have these conversations a lot, and I think these gems are going to help people who are in friendships kind of maybe see things in a different light, or maybe know how to better maneuver around their friendship. Now, so I've heard this word toxic a lot. Mm-mm. I think that was the word of 2020. If it was not narcissism, it was toxic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do this with air quotes. How does the concept of toxic friendships impact mental health? What strategies can one use to identify and manage such relationships?
Yeah. Firstly, I'm so glad you're using the air quotes, because I would agree with you that toxic people and narcissistic people has become like such a buzzword, and it's so unfortunate. I want to start off by saying, like, we are imperfect people. We are all a work in progress. Me as a therapist who has tools to help people navigate relationships, and everybody else in the world, okay? We all are imperfect. We all come with our stuff that have harmed us, that have changed our perception of life and people. And so in relationships, there's going to be challenges. And we've just got to find healthy tools to deal with them. So I would say that majority of our relationships move between a healthy and unhealthy relationship. But when they're unhealthy, there's opportunity for repair. When we're talking about toxic, we're talking about people who are abusive, mentally, emotionally, physically, right? We're talking about people who have this extreme level of jealousy and act as though they own us, right? Control. That is toxic. People that, you know, feel as though, you know, we're the only ones that they can be around and should be around. Like, it's control, it's envy, it is disrespect on a consistent basis, right? That is toxic. Majority of our friends, hopefully, are not like that, right? Majority of our people, like I said, because we're imperfect, move between the healthy and unhealthy, right? And I think, like, people might talk about codependency being quite an unhealthy trait as well. And I agree it is. And for different reasons, you know, people are codependent, but you could work through that. Sometimes you do need extra support like a therapist, but I would say most of our relationships are not toxic. The problem often is, to be honest, what I've noticed is we continue to rely on people emotionally who we should not be relying on emotionally. We continue to find ourselves in relationships that don't align with who we truly are and or want to be. So our values are misaligned. And so when you are misaligned with the people in your life who could either be individuals that you could rely on emotionally, and they don't have the capacity to do that, you're going to constantly feel alone. You're going to constantly feel neglected, and it's going to create a rift, right? And again, similarly, if you're in relationship with people who don't share similar values, it doesn't have to be all exactly the same, but if they don't share similar values, you're always going to be in conflict because you're going to be in conflict with yourself. And when that happens, sometimes we blame others when the truth is we should be looking at, well, why are we choosing these people to actually rely on and or fulfill the things that we need in this life when they actually don't have the capacity or ability to do so? And so I think often people misread toxicity because of the way they feel in certain relationships that doesn't feel like comfortable, or they still feel lonely, or they don't feel valuable. And often it's not toxic, it's just unhealthy, right? If it's consistently unhealthy, then once again, I would say, well, is this person a part of your close circle? Is there a heavy reliance on them emotionally? Then maybe we need to shift that and move to the friends that we know show up for us and give us the encouragement and support that we need. We could be our authentic self around them, and we would be so much better off. We have to realize that people are supposed to be in certain categories of our life. Not everybody should be given the same level of access to us, right? But sometimes we do that. We rush into these relationships expecting people to act the same, which is also not healthy, right? We cannot expect everyone to be the exact same. But because they're not the exact same doesn't mean they're not healthy. Okay? So just because someone doesn't act the exact same as all the other friends you have doesn't mean they're unhealthy. It just means we need to maneuver that relationship differently.
Right.
And then from there decide, is this person supposed to be a part of my close-knit, my circle, my close circle? Or do they belong outside of that?
That's true, because not everybody's going to act the way you want. It's just more so how can you work together to foster the friendship if it values you?
Exactly. If you value the relationship, how do you just maneuver that differently, right? And if it's like, and again, every relationship requires attention and nurturance, etc. And some people just require a different level of that. And I'm not saying that that you need to do that with every friendship that you do have. Because once again, like, where's the alignment? Where's the alignment that makes them feel like these are the people that I want close proximity with more often than not? And or what are the things that make it so that I don't? And it doesn't make that person bad. It doesn't make you bad. It just means that they're not those people for you in such a close, intimate way, right? Maybe they're just people that you do talk to about certain things or you go out with. I don't know. But the point is, we've got to be mindful that people aren't always going to show up the same way, or even the people that show up a particular way now could change at some point in time because maybe they're going through it, right? And so even giving people the grace to change and do wrong, and, you know, because we're also going to offend one another at some point in time. But it doesn't have to be the end of a friendship. It just requires skill and time to actually nurture, you know, the challenge and the areas that maybe require support.
So, speaking of going through it, how can individuals support friends who are going through a challenging time without compromising their own mental health?
You know, it's going to be different for every single person because, again, as someone who is a therapist, and I really try my best not to be a therapist with my friends, okay. But it's a bit of an occupational hazard, okay? I ain't gonna lie to you. Sometimes it happens, but I have worked so deeply on that because I know it used to annoy my friends so much, right? No, it did. It did. And I felt bad because I was just like, okay, they're not your clients. So, like, stop. I think it depends on each person, right? So I think sometimes there's people out there, unfortunately, who are like, oh, no negativity, no bad energy. But it's like, we all have bad days. So if you're not willing to hold your friend's burden for a minute, then, you know, I think that is a reflection on you and something that's happening that actually isn't healthy or supportive to yourself, much less to others. Because that, I would assume that individual also doesn't allow people in, probably. They probably don't allow people to support them. And they figure this is the way we're supposed to go through life, hyper-independent, I got me. Like, you know, it's actually not helpful because we're not an island. We're not supposed to be that isolated. We are here to carry each other's burdens, right? Especially, again, in these friendship roles. And so I think it depends. Like, I think we all have a different capacity. Like, let's say one person is dealing with a miscarriage and another person is dealing with depression. Obviously, that person may not be the one to give the listening ear, but maybe you show up with a dinner one day, you know? I think, again, doing check-ins, there's no harm in that. And so if for that moment, all you're able to do is do a text message because you don't feel like you can handle the conversation for a long time, then you do that. Sometimes you are the friend that gives resources because, once again, you recognize you're out of your depth in being able to support this person. Sometimes you sit with them and you just cry with them and you just play games or go out. Like, there's so many things we could do to make people still feel valued and supported and not be their therapist and or not feel like you have to solve the issues for them, right? Sometimes the best gift we could give them is getting them the support they need externally versus trying to resolve it ourselves. And sometimes the best gift we could give them is just being present, like physically present, emotionally present, right? I think it's so important that we recognize that is our role as humans on this earth, is to actually carry each other's burdens. That's why we were made for connection. We were wired for that. But sometimes we do need a break. And I think when you need the break, it's okay to take the break. But hopefully you're not giving up on people that easily either, you know? And then find these little ways to support them that doesn't take you out of your depth. Like I said, show up. Put in a movie, get some popcorn, right? Mm-hmm. Buy them groceries. Like, just show them some level of love. We know there's 5 love languages. Mm-hmm. Go through the whole list. Like, you know what I mean? And yep. Just do the thing for them, you know? But our presence, oh my God, that's like the best gift we could give anybody. Yes. Our presence.
Yeah.
You know?
This is so good, Simone. We're at the end of our discussion, but I did want to have a little bit of fun. So just one question, fun little question for you as we end off. Now, if you had to create a friendship soundtrack, what song would you choose to represent a healthy and thriving friendship? Like, what song captures the essence? What is your song you would say is a good friendship song?
Oh my gosh, that's a good one. You see, there's not too many songs about friendships.
And it could be anything, eh? Because reggae, soca, afrobeats, whatever.
I don't know. My mind's going to like some 80s, 90s tracks.
That's fine.
I'm trying to think. I'll Be There is coming up. I'll Be There. Who sang that again? Is it Boyz II Men? I'll Be There.
Just yes.
Yes. I'll Be There.
I'll Be There. Yes. Oh, yeah. I love that song.
Good song, right?
It is a good. That's a good answer. That's a good one.
I'll Be There. Yeah, that's what's coming to mind. Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, Simone, thank you for this discussion on friendship.
Yeah.
I think that's very important, too. We oftentimes focus a lot on relationships. We don't foster friendships. So I really do enjoy this. And I know these are nuggets that not only I'm going to take, but my listeners are going to take as well. So before we depart, Simone, could you just provide them anything that you're working on? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So you can find me, obviously, on my Instagram. It's at agape.lens, so agape.lens. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Simone Donaldson and or Agape Lens Consulting and Therapy. Similar on Facebook. Right now, I mean, we're gearing up for, I mean, we just have so many things going on. I have a lot of Black healing circles that are coming up. I'm hoping to really create one for the public very soon. Most of the ones I'm doing currently are for organizations, a lot of leadership coaching. And yeah, like we still have spots open for our therapeutic support. I actually have low-cost therapy that's going on right now for $70 with one of my students who I'm supervising. So, you know, catch that one because it's a limited time and limited spots available. So I would say those are the things that are coming up. Like 2024 is really shaping up to be a blessed and busy kind of a year. But yeah, look out in my Instagram and LinkedIn for things to come because our team has many amazing things that we have in store. We have many things in store that I would love for folks to jump in on and support. And yeah, let's heal together.
Special thanks goes out to Simone as we had this conversation on friendship. I thought this was a great conversation to have, how to be able to identify a great friendship, how to straighten current ones, how to deal with friendship breakups, as well as how to deal with boundaries. For a lot of people, friendships are definitely holding a huge factor on our lives. And this conversation couldn't come at a better time. So if you liked this episode, you know what I'm going to ask you to do. Share this. Share this on all your social media platform. As my friend Dominique says from the Raw Sex Podcast, subscribe. It's free. Sharing, it's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. So share this to everybody and anybody, have the conversation. You know what? Reach out to a friend. Talk to them. See how they're doing because you never know what they're battling. As always, don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms. So on X, formerly known as Twitter, ASOM_podcast, Instagram, A Shot of Melanin, Facebook, A Shot of Melanin. Listen, we're even on Threads now at A Shot of Melanin. And if you did enjoy today's episode, leave a comment and don't forget to like. If you're especially listening on platforms such as Spotify and Apple Music, keep liking and leaving comments. As I say all the time, help indie podcasters do their thing. We get no money out of this and we do this for the love of it. Speaking of the love of it, if you want to support the podcast, I'll be sure to leave information in the description box where you can drop some coins if you want to support the podcast by making a cash donation on our Buy Me a Coffee. I hope you enjoy this episode and I will catch you guys in the next one. Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.